All right, let's open our Bibles again to Hebrews 11. I feel impressed tonight to speak on this from this scripture, beginning in Hebrews 11 and going into chapter 12. Now, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, which Brother Trabant read to us, the Apostle Paul, I believe he's the writer of Hebrews, he calls the roll of believers who have lived before us. And he says in verse 38, chapter 11, verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They were not worthy of an Abel, an Abraham, an Enoch, a Moses, a Jacob, an Isaac. They weren't worthy. You see, these men believed God, and they believed God's word, and they looked for the Messiah. And they preached the promise of grace in the Messiah. And they dared to be different. They dared to believe God and be different from those around them. It's summed up here in verse 23, verse 24 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Moses, he believed God. He believed God's word. He dared to be different. And when he was come to years, when he became a man, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, he made this choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Like David. Moses had rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. He chose the afflictions of God's people rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Watch this now. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Did Moses believe in Christ? Certainly did. He wrote of him. Looked for his coming. Expected him. Rested in him. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, the richest country in the world. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew what was ahead. Like Abraham, who lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob and wandered in a land, having really owning no land at all, but just wandering, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Back to our text, Hebrews 11, verse 38 says, these people, these men of faith of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These men, in most circles, were not welcome. In most places, they were not welcome. They were despised like their master and rejected of men. And here's an amazing, marvelous thing about these men, and these all, verse 39, all of them, these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. You know what that means? It's saying two things. That all of these men who believed God, they obtained a good report through faith. A good report of whom? Of God. Enoch pleased God. It says of Enoch, he pleased God. He walked with God. And he pleased God, and he was not. God took him. These men, by faith, obtained a good report of God the Father. It says when Abel brought the sacrifice of blood, God the Father had respect to him. He obtained a good report of God. What matters what men say about you? It's what God says about you. They obtained a good report from God. And then secondly, listen to this. Through faith, they obtained a good report. And it says, and they received not the promise. They received not the promise. What does that say? It's saying this. They did not see the fulfillment of the promise. Even though they did not see the fulfillment of the promise, they believed that it would be fulfilled. Who's the promise? Christ is the promise. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20. I'll show you that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Christ is the promise. And these Old Testament believers rested in the promise of Christ, in the coming of Christ, and he did not come to earth until after they died. But they believed. They believed. They rested in him who will come. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1:20. But all the promises of God in Christ are yea, yes. And in Christ, amen, to the glory of God. All that God Almighty has for a sinner is in Christ and always has been. And these Old Testament believers, they rested in the promise of his coming. He said, Abraham saw my day. When Abraham was walking up that Mount Moriah with his son Isaac by his side, God had ordered him to sacrifice his son on an altar as an offering for sin. And he was on his way up the mountain to do just that. And he had the knife, and the boy had the wood and the fire. And the boy said, Father, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the lamb? There's no coming to God without a lamb. There's no coming to God without blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, even under the law. And Abraham said, the Lord will see to it. My son, the Lord will see to it. The Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see to it. And that's what Abraham's talking about, Christ. He was talking about Christ. That's the promise. And these men, all the promises of God are in Christ. And these men of faith believed, they believed the promise. And they obtained a good report of God by faith, though they didn't see the fulfillment. Isaiah wrote about him. Turn to Isaiah 53 and listen to this. Isaiah 53, verse 1. Hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, hundreds of years before Christ came to the earth, hundreds of years before the Messiah was born of Mary, Isaiah wrote, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our doctrine, our gospel? Does any man believe this? To whom is the arm of the Lord, the power of the Lord revealed? For this is our report, he. And you watch while we read this, he and him, he. This is the message of a person. Here's our report, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground, a dead nation in captivity to Rome. He hath no form, no comeliness, just a man. And when we shall see him, there's no beauty, we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised and we esteemed him not. But surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we're healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him. Who's him? The promise. The Messiah. The Christ. The Redeemer. The iniquity of us all. That's what it's saying here. These men believed God. Moses, Abel looked for a Messiah. Christ, the Lamb of God. He showed how we would be redeemed by blood. Moses looked for a Redeemer, a Messiah. And he showed how we're redeemed by putting the blood on the door. All the way through the Old Testament scriptures, these men died in faith, not having received the fulfillment of the promise, not having seen the Christ, but dead sure he was coming. Simeon. That old man went to the temple that morning. God had told him, Simeon, you're not going to die till you see the Christ, the Messiah. How long he waited, I don't know. But one day he went to the temple, and there stood a little Jewish maiden with a baby in her arms. She brought him to the temple to do after the ordinances and the commandments of the Levitical law in reference to him who opened the womb first. And Simeon saw him and took him up in his arms and lifted his eyes to heaven. He said, Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to your word. I've seen your salvation in this person. That's the promise. And that's what this... The world is not worthy of such men. And they wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. God had chosen the foolish things of the world, the base things, the things that are despised, the things that are not, to bring to naught the things that are. And in most places, these men were not welcome. In most circles, they were not wanted, and most people wanted nothing to do with them, but they obtained a good report where it counts. God. He wasn't ashamed to call them brothers. He's not ashamed of them. A lot of folks are. I've been places and around folks that were ashamed of what I preach and ashamed of what I believe and ashamed of who I am. But that's all right. He's not ashamed of me. That's right. And these men died before they saw the fulfillment of this promise. Verse 40, watch this. God having provided some better thing for us. Some better thing for us. We see him. We've heard him. We have the full revelation of the God-man. That they without us should not be made perfect. I tell you, all believers of all dispensations are saved by Christ. Whether it's Moses or me. Whether it's Isaiah or you, we're all saved by the same Redeemer. Washed in the same blood. We're all in the same body. One body, one church, one fold. The church of the firstborn. The church whose names are written in heaven. The church which he loved. The church which he purchased with his own blood. The church which he sanctified and made without spot or blemish. All believers are justified, sanctified, and accepted in the believer. These fellows back here had the promise, Christ in promise. We have Christ in person, but it's the same Christ. These fellows back here had Christ in type and picture and pattern, like a serpent lifted up. like a rock smitten, like a priest going into the Holy of Holies, like a lamb slain, like a city of refuge. They had Christ in type and picture. We have Him incarnate in human flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh. And the Word was with God, and the Word dwelt among us. And the Word was God, and we beheld His glory. Surely this man was the Son of God. Those fellows didn't see that, but we did. We have. They looked to Christ who was to come. We looked to Christ who has come. Colossians 2. Turn over there a minute. Colossians 2. Listen to this. Colossians chapter 2. It says in verse 9, "For in Christ, in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." So that He could say, "He that has seen me hath seen God. I and my Father one. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God." All the promises of God are in Him. All the fullness of God is in Him. All the grace of God is in Him. All the mercy of God's in Him. All the righteousness of God's in Him. All the fullness of God dwelleth in Him. And you're complete in Him. In Christ you have all that heaven requires, all that God demands, all that the law requires, all that justice demands in Christ. Complete. All right, watch this now. Therefore, chapter 12, and always remember, this Bible wasn't written in chapters and verses. It's been translated into chapters and verses. And it says in verse 40, "These men are not perfect without us, nor us without them. We're saved like they're saved." Same Savior, same Redeemer, same covenant, same grace. "Therefore," verse 1, chapter 12, "wherefore, therefore, seeing that we are surrounded," we're compassed about, we're surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. What is a witness? What is a witness? A witness, number one, is someone who's seen something. A witness is not a person who read about it, he's seen it. He has seen it. He saw it. A witness. A witness has heard something. A witness has experienced something, and nobody else is a witness. These men are witnesses. That is, they knew the faithfulness of God. They experienced it. They knew the fullness of His love. They walked in it. They knew the vanities of this world. They lived it. They know the sufficiency of His grace. They partook of it. They know the riches of His inheritance. Moses didn't blindly leave Egypt. He knew what he was doing. And he counted it worth every hour he suffered. That's a witness. That's a witness. I don't want to listen to anybody but a witness preach. I know preachers are trying to stir their people up to witness. I'd rather they wouldn't witness if they hadn't experienced something. And if they have, they will. I'm not going to try to get anybody to witness. If he hadn't seen anything, I don't want him telling something he hadn't seen, do you? I don't want him telling what he read about. The Lord, when He healed that demoniac in the Gadarenes, land of the Gadarenes, he wanted to follow the Lord. The Lord said, You go home. And you tell them what great things God's done for you. Now, he could tell them he was crazy and he had his right mind.
That old fellow that the Lord gave him sight, they started jumping all over him. He said, now, wait a minute. Let me tell you something. I was blind, and now I see. I know that. I know that. And you're not going to change my mind. And I know this. A man named Jesus made me whole. Now, I saw him. I heard him. And I experienced him. I got something to tell. He didn't tell more than he knew. He told what he knew. He told what he experienced. He told what God did for him. He didn't try to give anybody a course in theology. He didn't know any theology, but he knew a person. And we're surrounded, we're encompassed about with a great crowd of witnesses. Oh, that makes a lot of difference. Witnesses. And they're not witnesses of what we're doing. I hear people say, well, you better watch how you're walking. They're looking at you from heaven. They're not too much concerned about what you're doing. What they're witnesses of is what he did. They're witnesses of Christ. They don't care a whole lot about what you do. They're looking at him. And they're witnesses of his glory. Of his glory. We're surrounded with witnesses. So, watch it now. Let's lay aside every weight. Every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Paul the apostle evidently was an athlete or had some interest in athletics or Olympics, maybe the Greek Olympics. Because on one scripture he talks about shadow boxing. You read that scripture? He said, I do not fight as one who beats the air. I got a real opponent. That's right. He says on another occasion, they who run a race run all, but only one wins the prize. Remember that? And he said in another, I keep my body in subjection. Keep it under, lest while preaching to others I become a castaway. And then here, he talks about runners in a race. Run in a race. Run in a race. Run in a race. What does he say about it? All right? Three things. Everybody who runs a race has a designated course. C-O-U-R-S-E. Isn't that right? There's a designated, the length of it, a mile, certain meters, certain time. There's a race. You got to stay on course if you're going to run this race. And I tell you this, every one of us have a course that is set before us. The runner running the race, he has a course, and it's set before him. It's not behind him, it's before him. He has a goal. He has a certain course. And Almighty God has set a course for you and me. God has determined it. And Paul said before he died, I finished what? My course. I've come to the finish line. There was a place where God met me and I started this race. And I've kept the faith. And I finished my course. I'm at the end. I'm crossing the finish line. And you and I have a race set before us by our Heavenly Father. It's a predestinated course and way. Secondly, the runner who's running the race, he lays aside those heavy clothes and shoes and all the other things that would hinder him from running a good race. Doesn't you ever seen a runner out there with a pair of galoshes on and a raincoat, you know, and a rain hat and an umbrella? No, he sheds all of those things. He sheds those things. He sheds those things that would hinder him from running a good race. And what Paul is saying here, let us lay aside. Don't try to run this race carrying all these burdens and this load, this flesh. Lay aside all the commitments and the companions and the associates and the worldly interests that weigh heavily upon you and hinder you in your stewardship of grace. That's what I'm talking about. Brother Tom Harding went to Pikeville to be a pastor. He had a job. He had hospitalization. He had a retirement. He had 20 years service. And he owned a home. And he laid every bit of it down. Sold his home. Quit his job. Gave up all these things. Went in the ministry. Somebody said to him, "What in the world are you doing?" He said, "I'm entering the ministry. I'm running a race. And I'm laying aside everything that would hinder me from running the race." And that not only works for a preacher, that works for everybody here. There's certain commitments and companions and associates and worldly interests that drag you down. They do not contribute to your growth in grace. They do not contribute to your relationship with God. They take away from it. And they're hindering you. And he said, you lay it aside. You're surrounded by some witnesses that will tell you, that's not the way. This is the way. He's the way. They're witnesses of Christ. You lay aside every weight. And watch this next thing. And there's things, the runner, he's got a set course. Got a set course. He's got to lay aside these things that hinder him from running the race. And thirdly, he's got to run that race with patience. It's a long race. We have a young boy in our church that is a mile runner. You ever tried to run a mile? You think your lungs are going to burst. You think, I'll never get to the end of this thing. 4 minutes is like 4 hours. It's a long race. The finish line is way on out yonder. And it's only after pain and perseverance and patience and dedication you stay in the race. That's what he's talking about here. Let's lay aside every waste. Every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. What is the sin that doth so easily beset us? I've heard people say, well, that's different sins in different people. It ain't no such thing. It's the same sin in every one of us. We got one big problem, one big sin. You know what it is? Unbelief. That's what this chapter is all about here. That's what Ronnie, what do you read that word by faith? How many? A dozen? By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He said to Peter, Peter was going to deny him. Peter went to cursing and denying the Lord. And the Lord didn't pick out all these little weaknesses. He said, Peter, I've prayed for you that your faith fail not. Your faith. Your faith. Your faith. He that cometh to God must believe. Israel could not enter in. I know they made a calf, golden calf. I know they murmured and grumbled. I know all this and all that. But you know what's behind every bit of it? Unbelief. They could not enter in because of one word. Unbelief. Unbelief. And what he's saying is this. God's put that course out there. It's my course and your course. It's set before us. It's set before us. Lay aside the weights and the things that are keeping you from running an effective and blessed race and stay on the track. No matter how much pain you experience, how much discouragement, how weary, how heavy your legs become. All of these things. Run it with patience. Patience. Endurance. He that endureth to the end, the same will be saved. Some of us are 70, but it's not over till it's over. That's what Yogi said, wasn't it? It ain't over till it's over. And I intend, by the grace of God, to finish my course. Don't you? Better. Now here's the sum and substance of this whole thing. I call this message the whole of the matter. Verse 2, Hebrews 12:2, looking to Jesus. There's the secret. Isn't that the secret? Run with patience the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus. It's a long, hard road. It's filled with trials and troubles and sorrows. It's a race that's set before us. It's for the glory of God. Let's run it with patience, looking to Jesus. Not looking to my faith, looking to Jesus. It's not when. I know when I saved. That's all right. Some people don't. Well, I know where the Lord saved me. Well, some people don't. I know how He saved me. I do too, by Christ. It's whom. Looking to whom? Faith is the hand which takes the food. Don't eat the hand. Eat the food. Christ is the food. He's the bread. Faith lays hold of the bread. Faith lays hold of the water of life. Faith is not the bread. I'm not saved by faith. I'm saved by Christ. That's right. And it's faith in Christ that lays hold upon Him. That's right. So don't look to your faith. I just don't think I got faith enough. I don't either. I'll be honest with you. I never have been satisfied with my faith. Are you? I'm satisfied with Him. It's not my faith, it's Christ. Look into Christ, not to my faith. Listen, look into Christ, look into Jesus, not to my morality or my righteousness or my works. Any morality I have is because of His presence. Any righteousness I have is His. Any works I have is not I, but Christ in me. I'm not going to let works encourage me nor discourage me. That's right. I'm not going to let my works encourage me nor the absence of them to discourage me. I'm not going to allow morality to lift me up nor take me down. I'm going to look to Christ, where I am and what I am. Look into Jesus. Look into Jesus, not to my position in the church. Well, I'm a preacher. A lot of preachers have perished. Paul said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I was a member of the Sanhedrin. I was a blameless concerning the law, but I count all that but dumb that I may look to Jesus. Win Christ and be found in Him. Looking to Jesus, not to my brethren. Oh, I just lost confidence in people. I'm going to quit. I'm not. I'm not looking to them. I'm not looking to the best of them, and I'm sure not looking at the worst of them. Put Christ between you and everybody and look to Him. You're my good friend, but Christ is here. And I love you, but Christ is here. Christ is right here. And your presence is a blessing. But your absence doesn't change my relationship with Him. Because He's between me and you. My wife, I love her. But Christ's between me and her. Whatever she does is not going to change my relationship to Him because He's between me and her. My children, I love them. I weep with them, I laugh with them. Hurt with them and thank God for them. But He's between me and them. That's right. And their presence is a blessing, but their absence is not going to change my relationship with Him. Got to remember that now. Look into Jesus, not to your faith, not to your morality, not to your works, not to your position, not to your brethren, not to your loved ones. Look to Christ. He never changes. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He never will. They will. He won't. David said, my mama and daddy might forsake me, but my Lord won't. Friends come and friends go, but Christ stays. Look to Christ. Isn't that right? Look to Christ. Look into Jesus and not to my trials. The Apostle Peter got out of that boat and started walking on the water. And as long as he looked to Christ, he walked. When he started looking at the wind, he sank. When he started looking at the waves, he went down. That's right. And you and I, if we just let our eyes stray from him and start looking in here, or looking at our troubles and trials, we're human, and troubles and trials will hinder us if we start looking at them and dwelling on them. Look to him. Look into Jesus and not to the means of grace. Listen to me now. Listen carefully. This is the condemnation of this religious generation right here. Looking to Christ and not the means of grace. Reading the Bible, oh, it's important. Prayer, it's important. Worship, it's important for a believer. Studying the Bible, orthodoxy, theology. Paul said, Timothy, take heed to your doctrine, for in so doing you'll save yourself and them that hear you. Baptism, the Lord's table, fellowship, good works, all of these are good means of grace and growth. But only Christ keeps all these things from becoming filthy rags. That's right. Any of these things are all up. If they get between you and him, they're filthy rags. What keeps the reading the Bible? Christ said to those Pharisees, you search the Scriptures. You think in them you have life. Their studies and searching and theology was filthy rags because Christ wasn't there to make it holy. My prayers, don't waste time praying them if Christ is not the center of them, the heart of them, and the glory of them. He has to make them acceptable. Now the positive, that's the negative. Look into Christ and not these other things. But listen, verse 2, and I'll quit. Looking to Jesus, first in the covenant, he's the author and finisher of our faith. Looking to Jesus. It's which Jesus? I hear people say, let's all get together around Jesus. Which one? Which one? We'll get together around this one, who's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, who's the surety of an everlasting covenant, who's the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, who's the shepherd to whom God gave a sheep before the world began in the covenant of grace. That's the one to whom we look. The author. What is the author? The beginner. The originator. The one who thought it all up. The author of a book came out of him. Well, your faith came out of him. Your salvation came out of him. You didn't choose him, he chose you. You didn't love him, he loved you. You didn't determine to come to him, he determined to bring you. He's the author of our faith. He's the giver of faith. He's the keeper of faith. He's the finisher of faith. That's right. He'll keep me till the river rolls its waters at my feet. Then he'll bear me safely over where my Savior I will meet. I'm kept by the power of God. Through faith. And that not of myself, it's the gift of God. So that's the one you look to now, the author of faith, the finisher of faith, and everything in between. Then secondly, who for the joy that was set before him, what joy? A people the Father gave him. The joy that was set before him endured the cross, ignoring the shame, bearing the shame. You look to Christ, the Jesus in the covenant, you look to Jesus on the cross. Don't be ashamed of the precious blood. We're redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Preach the cross. Preach the cross. Someone told me just a short time ago that a group of men and women came to a pastor of a Methodist church, and I can't remember where I was when they were talking to me. And they met with the pastor because they wanted him to adjust his theology and his sermons. They said, "We're hearing too much about this Jesus Christ. We want to hear more practical things." Oh my, don't ever quit preaching the cross, the blood, the grace of God, substitution. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Look to Jesus in the covenant. Look to Jesus on the cross, and look here. And look to Him who is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The covenant is who He is. The cross is what He did. And the right hand is where He is, making intercession for us. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Him so completely that our eyes see no other Redeemer. Our ears hear no other prophet. Our hearts love no other Savior. Our hands embrace no other beloved. Our minds consider no other Redeemer. Our lips praise no other God. Our feet serve no other Master. And our hope rests in no other way. Christ. 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 Looking to Jesus. Our Father, for Your glory, for Your glory, and for our good, our eternal well-being, bless this word to our hearts tonight. Lord, we can preach and read, and we can listen, and we can learn in our heads truth set forth. But You are the disturber of the heart. You're the only one who can make Thy word to be effectual, to changing the heart, renewing the heart, giving us, shedding abroad in our hearts Your love, Your grace. And I pray You'd take the message tonight and use it to glorify Christ Jesus and to bless Your dear people, that we might be identified with these who by faith serve the Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.